Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So let me pull out my handy-dandy iPad out of the depths of my slanket. And if you will, turn in your Bibles or flip in your devices to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Now, I do want to review the last couple of verses that we looked at last week. And if you haven't had a chance to look at last week's message, you can always do so on our YouTube channel, or you can go to our website and listen to the audio podcast there. But last week we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and I wanted to particularly look again at verses 3 and 4. It begins like this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only to their own interests, but rather to the interests of others." Now, I think that's important because it frames up what comes next. During the month of February, we're going to be examining verses 5 through 11 of Philippians chapter 2 in depth. But those verses frame up what we're going to learn about the attitude of Jesus Christ. And so it begins with the admonition that we should do nothing from conceit or ambition, but we consider others as more important than ourselves. And the key word there is humility. And then Paul gives the added encouragement that we should not look just to our own interests, which is natural. He's not saying not to look to our own interests at all. He's saying, but also look to the interests of others. And so it's important now that we look at verse 5 together. In verse 5, it says, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus." Now, when he says that, we need to spend some time talking about that. What does it mean to adopt the same attitude as Christ Jesus? In fact, it's formative for us to understand how we live and how we interpret life through this lens of our attitude. So in aeronautics, and I'm a little bit nervous about even trying to go there, Scott Metz will know a lot better. He's a pilot for American Airlines. Bill Harris is also a pilot. They'll be able to correct me pretty quickly. But in aeronautics, the word attitude means something significant. It means it's the orientation of the plane with respect to a set of reference axes. The reference axis system initially has a z-axis that's vertical up and down with respect to the Earth's surface. And the craft axis system usually has the x-axis running from the nose or the front of the aircraft all the way to the tail or the rear of the aircraft. And so the aircraft's z-axis would then run straight up and down when the aircraft is on the ground. So that's the attitude of the aircraft. And so the attitude of the aircraft really determines where the plane is in reference to the Earth, and if the plane's leaning, tilting, banking, whatever it may do. I'm really getting out of my range as far as aeronautics goes. But the ultimate understanding we need to grasp is that even in aeronautics, your attitude can drastically impact your altitude. If you don't know what your attitude is, then you're directionless, really. And actually, if you don't know what your attitude is when you're flying, your direction will be down quickly. It's so important for us to be able to grasp and understand in aeronautics what our attitude is, but particularly as we live our lives, if we're not good students of ourselves and understand what our attitudes are, how will we ever be able to allow them to be transformed and then to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus? So our attitudes are like this window that we see life through. It's how we interpret life. For instance, if you have a bitter attitude because of life experiences or disappointments or disenchantments, if you have a bitter attitude, you're always going to second guess other people's motives. If you have a joyful attitude, you will probably tend to experience gratitude a lot. You'll interpret life through the lens of joy. And so our attitudes really become the glasses or the context through which we see and interpret life and the events and relationships and facts and information that come to us. The reality for us is it's deeply important for us to understand our attitudes. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, it tells us this: let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so for our attitudes to be correct, we must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. In the same way that if you're flying a plane, you keep your eyes focused on instruments, you keep your eyes focused on the horizon, you understand what your plane's attitude is. In the same way, for us to live our life in such a way that would bring glory to God and blessing to others, we have to keep our eye focused on Jesus, though, so that our attitude will always be submitted to the Lord. What you ultimately look through influences what you look to. Let me say that again. What you ultimately look through influences what you look to. And so you should keep the windows of your soul clear so that your view of Jesus is unobscured. So, do you realize now that your attitude influences how you take in information, how you receive conversation? Your attitude influences what you think of people. If you default to negative attitudes, then you will tend to think negatively. However, if you default to positive attitudes and you focus on Jesus, then you will tend to think positively. You will be able to do what Scripture encourages to do: whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is joyful, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, think about these things. As we think about those things, it dramatically impacts our attitudes. It impacts how we view life and information. And so our attitudes can actually influence how we receive the news. And boy, isn't the news just full of dismal nastiness these days? Attitudes can impact how we view our information that we get and how we receive it. It can impact our conversations. Attitudes can impact how we view unpleasant surprises and how we react to unpleasant surprises. If we have a positive attitude and an unpleasant surprise comes our way, we are more likely to shift into the mode of joy and gratitude, relying upon God's strength to deal with things. If you have a negative attitude when you encounter unpleasant surprises, you're going to shift into complaining and grumbling and bitterness and discontent. And so it's so important to be able to understand where your attitude is. It impacts everything. It impacts how we receive blessings, whether we're grateful for them or whether we're ungrateful for them, and even have this attitude of entitlement sometimes. It impacts how we vote. It impacts how we post. Our attitudes are the lens through which we interact with life and how we see life and information. So Paul was saying in verse 5 that we should adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Is that a tall order or what? Do you think it's unrealistic that we should have the same attitude of Christ? I don't think Paul would have given us the command if there wasn't a reasonable way for us to live our lives in such an attitudinal position. And so that's why during the month of February, we're going to spend time unpacking verses 5 through 11 of Philippians chapter 2. They are some of the most beautiful verses about Jesus in all of the New Testament. For now, let me ask you today, do you know what your prevailing attitude is? What do you default to in life? It's more likely the attitude of your temperament, how you are formed and how you've been shaped by your upbringing and your experiences and life. But do you know what the prevailing attitude of your life is? What is that default for you? Now, psychologists will tell us that there's three different ways that we can look at attitudes and the things that would identify our attitudes. They'd say there's a cognitive component to that, which is your thoughts or beliefs about the subject. They'd say that there is an affective component, is how the object, person, or issues or events make you feel. And they'd also say there's a behavioral component to your attitude. Your attitude will influence your behavior. Whatever it is, we know that there are things in our past, things in our present that dramatically impact us positively or negatively and influence the way that we see life. So I'd encourage you to evaluate your prevailing attitude and then begin to surrender it, confess it, and then cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the renewing of the way you think, the renewing of your attitude, so that your attitude may begin to reflect that of Christ Jesus. And so now let's look briefly at verses 6 through 8, just to give us a glimpse of the attitude of Jesus and where we'll be going in the next month together. It says that we should adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death, and even to death on a cross. That's why Paul earlier would encourage us to say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves, because that's how Jesus lived. He laid down his life for me. He laid down his life for you. In humility, he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, and he became obedient even to the point of death for us. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on this snowy day. I hope that your weekend is blessed. Stay safe. Please, we encourage you to keep up with us at northstarfamily.org. And today, just as a reminder, we want to encourage you to give. Giving is what we do as believers in Jesus Christ. And so you can always go to the link, don'tgo.be/give, for your offering and your tithes. We love you guys. Let us know how we can serve you and how we can pray for you.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.